So we're into the third week now of a short series that we're looking at, thinking about living out our lives on in our everyday spaces in the front lines. So everyday mission on your front lines. The first week, we looked at how we can make all the difference in the world, not because we are great and amazing, but because God says that we are, because he is our Father, he is our Savior. And because of who God says we are able to live for him and make a difference. And then last week, James spoke about that being the case wherever we go, how we take God's Spirit with us as he is in us, and the greatest gift that God has given us in a way is himself. And as we go, we can live out our lives for him. But today we're looking at whatever we do. So helpful intro from Hannah with some of those images, some of those people in different places doing the laundry, doing various kind of washing up, certainly giving me a reminder that I should make sure my kids do more chores around the house. So thank you, Hannah, for that, and other parents for modelling it. But I wonder, work, is it valuable? Yes, it is. Most of us work either in a job that is paid or in a voluntary capacity, or maybe by doing tasks around the home to make home life happen. And most of us take holidays, have a rest from work. So when we think about this phrase, whatever we do, we're not just thinking about work, paid employment. It might well be that, but it's far broader than that as well. So what did I do this week? A little insight into my week for you. So last Monday, I was working on my sermon, so that's fairly predictable, doing a bit of preparation, some reading, some typing, some thinking, some praying associated with that. I also plugged in the Charity Commission website the church's details and had to kind of change some details on that, so that was a bit of admin, fairly straightforward. I had to play toy hide and seek. And I'm going to put that in there. So Nadia had to go off and do some work for the school's work trust that she works for or volunteers for. And a part of my role was therefore to occupy Jocelyn. So I invented a game which is called Toy Hide and Seek. And I went around the house hiding her toys and assuming it would be a good idea that Joss, who's only 3 and a half, nearly 4, could go and then find them to then play with. And it kind of worked just about, although I had to basically show her where I'd hidden stuff. So I guess that side of the hide and seek didn't work so well. But a bunch of different things on Monday, and then into Tuesday, staff meetings, Wednesday, Thursday, life groups, all sorts of stuff happening that many of you do. But I guess when we think about what we do work at a computer, we work with our hands as well. We maybe some people in the room make things during the week. Maybe you spend a lot of time on your phone or on your computer. What is the work of your hands? Maybe it's kind of craftsmanship in some way or another. Maybe it's just getting into the garden and getting your hands dirty and you're doing stuff. Whatever you have done this week, whatever job you have, whatever kind of childcare it might be, whatever activities you have done that isn't rest, that is kind of what we're thinking about. And it's not insignificant. It matters. The work of your hands, however small, however insignificant, however important, whether you're a brain surgeon or whether you kind of do the same old tasks day after day, week after week, through the year, whatever it is, God says it matters. And God says in the Bible, as we're going to read in a minute, that whatever you do should be done with all your heart in the name of Jesus. But I wonder, how is your whatever you do going? Are you in a place where you're thriving in that space? You're loving work. You're fulfilled. You've got the best boss. You're just feeling like you're empowered to get on and lead all sorts of areas that people are behind you. And a bit like the kids and the youth worker at this church. They're feeling really like, this is the best thing ever. Our operations and administrator, Sian, she's just, yep, she's in everyone, all the staff. Well, maybe not. Maybe some weeks work is a bit hard. Maybe you're in a place where actually your job's tough. Your boss is just not understanding you, is actually making your work quite difficult. Maybe the project or assignment that you have is just really difficult to get your head round. Maybe you're at school and the environment that you're in is tough because you're struggling with the friendship group that you have. Maybe your tasks around the home are just constant. As soon as you've swept up under the dining room table, there's mess again, and there's just more and more work that is unavoidable. However it is that you may feel at the moment, what we're going to see is that actually, whatever we do, it can be worship. Whatever we do is a part of our being followers of Jesus. We can share our faith through our actions, through our attitude. So let's listen to a few verses from Colossians 3 and see how we can see that this is a reality for us to grow in and be reminded of. And it says in Colossians chapter 3, from verse 15, this. And this is off the back of a few verses that Paul has written to this small young church in Colossae, that community matters, that loving one another really matters, that as well as being patient with each other, we've got to be changed from the inside so that we can impact the community that we're in. And so he's writing this letter to teach them about who Jesus is, to show them what the gospel is, but also how to live that out in their life. And he gets to chapter 3 and he says this in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I'm just going to pause there for a moment. That's the first, whatever you do. In a minute, we're going to come across another one. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, so far, what he's been talking about is the stuff that maybe we're familiar with. It's the church stuff, isn't it? It's gathering and let the message of Christ dwell richly amongst you. It's sort of make sure you're reading the Bible, teaching the Bible, that you're singing and admonishing one another with wisdom, that you're singing psalms and songs and having a gratitude, spirit of gratitude in your gatherings. But then what he says in verse 17 is, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, so our words, our actions, the way we relate to one another, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we're going to think about that in a moment. Let me carry on reading. Then he moves from whatever you do to say, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, and to curry their favour, not flavour, it's not curry and flavours. And I read that a few times this last week. Didn't have a curry, but thought that that would be an appropriate meal to eat whilst preparing this. But with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So the relationships for husbands and wives, children and parents, slaves and masters. Verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So we go from this more gathered church context of word and singing and gratitude and relationships within the community to then the scattered context of marriage, of parenting, when you've tried telling your child to do the washing up and they still say no. That environment, when we then think about the work environment of slaves and masters. So suddenly the whatever we do moves out of the space that we're in now and into the Monday to Saturday. Whatever we do in the name of Jesus, whatever we do with all of our heart, as if working for the Lord, not just your employee or just running the home because that's what needs to happen. And so this is what Paul is teaching as he's working through the letter. He's got to the point of saying, this is what it looks like in practice. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It means whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. So let's start with that first point. Whatever we do, do it all in the name of Jesus. So what we've found so far is this phrase, in the name of Jesus, coming up. And that's where it's centered on. The activities you do in your week, do it in the name of Jesus. So we are Christ's ambassadors. We read of that in another of Paul's letters. His partners. The work that we do during the week is to represent Jesus, not just do the task in front of us. Now, verse 17 talked about in the words and the deeds that we do, the words that we speak should be done in this way. So our actions matter. How we fulfill that is maybe different for each of us because the things that we do in the week are different. They're not all the same. But the way that we speak, the deeds that we do, should all be in the name of Jesus. Now, I went shopping 2 weeks ago with my family. It was a rainy Saturday, and we were trying to work out what to do. We normally go for a walk in the woods, but it was really raining. And I surprised Nadia and the kids by turning around and saying, let's go to the shops. I don't normally say that. I'm not a shopper. But I did have a kind of reason for this. Since my birthday last December, I've had this gift card, a John Lewis gift card in my wallet. And I thought, oh, I don't know what to buy from John Lewis or Waitrose with this £20. Thought, let's go and spend it. Let's go out on a family outing and spend my birthday £20 gift voucher. So off we went towards Ashford. There's not a John Lewis's there, and I didn't fancy going to Waitrose to spend £20. So we went to John Lewis home store and walked around, looked at the different things, soon to discover that you can't get much for £20. You really can't. It kind of, yeah. So I was weighing up two items. One item was a pillow. Nadia said that was a good use of £20. It was on offer. It was a great pillow, I'm sure, but I've got a pillow. And the other option was the games section. And in the games section was dog bingo. I thought, I'm going to bless the family with dog bingo. It's a bit of a running joke, as you know, that they want a dog and I don't. And so I thought this would appease some of that desire for a dog, would be to play dog bingo. And they'd get 64 dog names that they could learn. So we got dog bingo with my £20 birthday money instead. But as I was walking around John Lewis, if you've ever been, you can just imagine it, and or a Waitrose store, there's a certain caliber of item, isn't there? There's a sort of level of what you find in a shop like that. Any item has the name John Lewis on it. It has a part of the ethos of the company, which is to care for their employees, which is to kind of, in the early 1900s, when he established the firm, was to say, we're going to give our employees 3 weeks' holiday, not just two. We're going to care about the happiness and well-being of the company, not just profit. And so a part of the culture of that partnership, the Waitrose and Partners, the John Lewis and Partners firm, is this. This is the name of John Lewis that's impacting the store, impacting the profit, the products, rather than just the profit. And in a way, I think it's quite similar for us in that as we do our work, as we do our things, our activities, paid or unpaid, volunteering or not, we do it in the name of Jesus, with his ethos, with his values, with his kind of philosophy of life, which is love, which is others first, which is about the very things that we read about. Whatever you do in word and deed, do it with a thankful heart. Do it giving thanks to God the Father. So we thank God for the stuff we can do in our Monday to Saturday. We do it from a place of gratefulness, not just frustration. And there will be times when we're frustrated by our work, when it's hard, when it's confusing, when we're not sure quite how to get through another week because it's mundane. But here we read that actually, whatever we do, We do it in the name of Jesus. So the question might be, can I really do this if I'm representing Jesus? What in your work, in your activities, do you need to evaluate and go, if I'm taking Jesus' name, if I'm his ambassador, if I'm a partner with God, and I'm taking his name into the workplace, to the school gates, into the community that I'm serving in, am I representing Jesus well in this area by what I say, by what I do? Wow, there's a question. How are we doing on that? How am I doing when I'm kind of trawling through my emails again and responding to messages during the week, or as I'm kind of trying to lovingly listen, engage with people when situations are difficult? Are we representing Jesus the way he would have us represent him? And as we think about that, we then move on to the next whatever. So you'll notice it says, whatever we do in verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. So the first one, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Secondly, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart. This is full on. This is 100% in, not 50% in, not 95%. Do it with all of your heart. And how does he make that point? Well, he kind of goes through the different relationships in culture. So there's the wives and the husbands, and then children and fathers or parents, and then slaves and masters. And he unpacks this, whatever you do with all of your heart, in the context of the issue of slavery in the time that he was writing. So they didn't have many privileges. They didn't certainly have any inheritance, which is why there's a reference to that. And that would have been hard. Once you become a Christian, can you then start challenging your master more? Well, here it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, to get their favor, to please them, but also with a sincere heart, out of reverence for the Lord, the whole time, whenever. So whatever we do in our week, in our when possibly you're under someone in a working environment, the attitude should not be, well, I'll work hard when they're watching, when they ask for that report. I'll work hard the whole time. I won't just do it to avoid punishment or avoid sort of being kind of critiqued. I will do it because I'm actually working for the Lord Jesus regardless. God sees all of our work, not just what we put on display. So whatever we do, work at it with all your heart. Do you remember the great commandment that Jesus said in answer to a question from a teacher of the law is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. All. This is what God asks us to do. This is what Paul is stressing to the slaves who, in a very difficult context, were called to be obedient. And isn't that great? Isn't that liberating? That we don't primarily work for our employer, but we work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the attitude that we have really matters. How we do what we are asked with the right spirit, how we don't talk behind our boss's back, how we don't grumble as we do the washing up, how we do things for God, not just for one another. Suddenly, that brings a different light on maybe our attitude of the whatever we do. So whatever we do it with all our heart, knowing that God sees all of it. It is for him that we are working. I was really struck when I read this by some of the phrases, not just the curry one and my love for curries, but the sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Reverence, respect, awe. A part of our holy living as Christians is how we work, is how we do things for others. Is the attitude of worship when we type, when we text, when we speak, when we teach, when we make, when we dig, when we craft, when we write. Whatever the things are that you do in your whatevers, those things are a part of our worship. because it is out of reverence for the Lord. It is to please him. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, normally in the New Testament, you have the Lord Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ. The only combination that Paul has of Lord Christ in the New Testament letters that he writes is here. So why does he do that? Why does he have Lord Christ? Well, I think it's to really emphasize the point that the Lord is like master, king. He is the one that is our true master, not our human masters. It is the Lord Christ, the one that was promised, the Messiah. This is our king. It is him that we serve. Quite a lot of you, myself included, have been, possibly if you've got kids that are at the age where they're changing schools and looking for new schools, going around schools and seeing these open evenings. Maybe you've got an experience of that. If you haven't done it recently, maybe you're a teacher and you were responsible for making your classroom look a bit tidier than this. Maybe you can remember when you went around looking at a secondary school or a primary school. Or maybe you know of others that have. But either way, open evening season has just about come to an end. We've had 4 or 5 weeks where schools do their best to put on a show, to make their classrooms look as lovely as they can, to highlight the great achievements, the great awards, the great things that are happening in their school. And that's good. It's good to highlight and celebrate. But it's quite easy to assume that that's just the way that it is in a regular Monday to Friday week. So I and my wife Nadia as well also booked into a few open mornings, and we went around schools to see what really happens in the classroom. I had a few quite amusing occasions where different things happened. The first one was as Nadia was walking with the headmaster through the corridor, suddenly a student decides to swear quite loudly from the classroom we're passing. And suddenly the headmaster kind of blushes and goes, excuse me a minute, and has to go and deal with this child who's swearing as a group of parents are walking past. The next school that we go to, I'm being shown around, it was the Langton. It's a very nice school. And I thought, oh, how are they going to do, the Langton Boys School? Suddenly the fire alarm goes off. and our tour guide is like, oh, what do I do? And we get taken to the playground, and I have to watch all these students line up because it's a fire drill. Right, this is a good test. How are they going to do in this environment? This wasn't planned. Well, it probably was planned, but, you know, not really for the parents to see. And suddenly they did very well. I can't, you know, I was hoping that there'd be a bit of a disaster, but there wasn't. And then the next school that I visit, it's pouring with rain. Just this week, pouring with rain. And the PE lesson, they have to double up. They have to get double the number in the sports hall and come up with some game off the cuff to run. And I used to be a PE teacher, so I can remember this and think, ha ha, let's see what you're made of. Can you cope with not just 30 kids, but 60, annoyed that they can't do the sport they thought they were going to do, are in a sports hall and have to somehow cope? And we decide to stand and watch this class as they begin to figure out what they're going to do. And for some reason, the PE teacher thinks that it's a good idea to teach 60 kids volleyball. I've no idea why. I would not have done that. But anyway, we decided to leave before the chaos erupted. But we got an insight into the real working of schools, fire alarms, swearing, volleyball with 60. And that was important. God sees our every moment, our every working moment. What is our attitude with the whatever we do? What is our serving the Lord with all of our heart like? Now, does this mean that we just need to work as hard as we can? Is that what the Bible's about? Is that what Jesus demands? Hard work. The Protestant work ethic. Is that what we should be striving for? Well, no, it's not. But what does matter is that we work and do the things that he calls us to with the right attitudes. And there's three things that I think come out of this passage. The first one is a thankful attitude, gratitude, thanking God for what he gives us to do with our time, Monday to Saturday. Work, voluntary, in the home, in the community. How thankful are we? Our attitude matters. Let's be people that are thankful. How committed are we, if we are to do it with all of our heart, how committed are we to working even when we've got a difficult boss, even when we're frustrated because it's a mundane task that we're doing? How committed? Because we're not just serving the people around us, we're serving the Lord Christ, our King, our Master, our Saviour. And thirdly, how ready are we to be a witness in our everyday workplaces, homes, and communities? See, this is all not because the harder we work, the more God loves us, but because Jesus has made it possible for us to work and that be a part of our worship, a part of our thank you to him for saving us, part of our recognition that we're doing it in his name, and that's the name that saves. So we don't just pray in Jesus' name and ask things in Jesus' name, or, I don't know, kind of baptize in people's name, in Jesus' name, or kind of exercise demons in Jesus' name, as the New Testament teaches and displays. But we work in Jesus' name. We wash up in Jesus' name. We change nappies in Jesus' name. We kind of meet up for coffee with friends that are struggling in Jesus' name. We serve others. We serve God because Jesus is the name that saves. Jesus is the name that has saved us if we follow him, and therefore we live for him. So how can we be distinct? How can we be different in our everyday, whatever we do? Well, I'm going to give a few practical examples from an article that I read this week on this topic. So we've got a few red dots on the screen. So us scattered in our week. But we want to have an impact on those around us so that the grey turns pink and hopefully red. What practical steps could we do to be faithful witnesses in our workplace? This is four things that Dominic McKay wrote when she was tackling this issue. She said, arrive on time and leave early if you can. What does that fight? Well, it fights workaholism and the disrespect that can creep in to work hours sometimes. Try and arrive on time. Try and leave early if you can. Maybe not before you're meant to leave, but don't stay late burning the midnight oil. Okay, try and leave when you should leave. Two, feast with those who feast. Join the celebrations. Go along to the socials if you can. Build relationships beyond the working hours. Build relationships so that you can be a witness beyond the working hours as well. Number three, pray for your colleagues. They're going to share problems. Why not pray for the colleagues and say, look, can I just pray for you? You've shared this. This is hard. I know this is a difficult time for the workplace. I'm going to pray for that. Can I pray for you now? And fourthly, don't leave before you leave. Finish well. Show you're contributing to the end, not just giving up and moving on. It's so easy, isn't it, to just kind of change jobs, leave work, or finish relationships, change schools, whatever it might be, and not do it well. Doing it all the way through, working with all our heart in the name of Jesus. Let me pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to be people that would worship you through our work, through whatever we do. Give us an attitude that is fully for you. Give us an attitude that is thankful and grateful. Help us to serve you, Lord Christ, not ourselves, not our bosses alone, but you. In Jesus' name, amen.